Hello and welcome to an all-new episode of Talking Fußball, the Ausstieg edition, your source for all things lower league German football. And today we've got quite some episode lined up for you. Promotion to the Bundesliga has been settled. Relegation is done and dusted for two teams in the Bundesliga 2. And the Dritte Liga, there is some fight for that second spot heating up. My name is Nick Wiltang, and alongside with me is a man who might have been given a man at the midnight. It's Mike Krückemeyer. How are you doing, Mike?
My voice is still recovering from the weekend, but it's not because of football. It's because I had a cold, so not that spectacular. But St. Pauli is back in the Bundesliga 1, so I'm doing good.
And alongside with him is our tactics expert and football insider. It's Jasmine Hahn. How are you doing, Miss Hahn?
I cannot breathe, and that's also not because of the weekend. That's because for some reason, I cannot breathe.
Are you in London?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, air quality is shite.
Oh, but it happens everywhere. Do not discriminate about the place I'm in.
True, the south of London is nice. Anyways, we'll be right back after a quick break. Here we go, it's part one of Talking Fußball, the Ausstieg edition. My name's Nick Wiltang, alongside with me are Jasmine Hahn and Mike Krückemeyer. And Mike, gonna start with you. St. Pauli, back in the Bundesliga after a little break from it.
13 years.
Yeah, I mean, the match at the Millanton against already relegated Osnabrück seemed like a formality, and it probably was, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, let's just shortly wrap up the weekend from a St. Pauli point of view. So on Friday, HSV secured another year in the second league with them losing in Paderborn. So this was part one. Then on Saturday, we could have got promoted on the sofa if Kiel would have won against Düsseldorf, but they didn't. They at least played 1-1, which secured us a place in the first league if we just also manage 1 point. And, well, I don't think that anyone doubted that we will achieve that point. And as Dapo Afolayan scored in the 7th minute, everything was done, so no one has any doubt left. He scored again in the second half, Marcel Hartl scored, and it was all a big party, of course. The club asked the fans to stay off the pitch because next week there is the under-23 game in the Regionalliga against Hannover 96-2. Well, that didn't really work out, to be honest. Yeah, but apart from that, it was a big night in Hamburg, of course.
Yeah, and the scenes from the dressing room, I alluded to them in the intro. That was really, truly brilliant to see, wasn't it?
Yeah, so the team, of course, first of all, didn't have any chance to get off the pitch in the first seconds after the final whistle. So everyone was somehow caught by fans. Fabian Hürzler was celebrating on the shoulders of fans. And after, I would say, about 30, 40 minutes, I don't know, they got back from the locker rooms with some new shirts. And they managed to get all the players in a certain block in the stadium so that they were able to sing with the fans, celebrate once again, and yeah, it was all a big party.
It was indeed. And alongside with them, Holstein Kiel was also promoted after they managed a 1-1 draw against Fortuna Düsseldorf. Now, Jasmine, Kiel, we were sort of doubtful that they would make it at the halfway point. Why have they?
I still don't know. They've got a good balanced squad. Basically, they've outperformed themselves by the quality that they have in certain players. It's not like the best quality you'll see, especially with other teams that you'll see, maybe Hamburg, but they work really well as a team, and they've got a good mixture of tactics, so possession and, you know, counter-attacking, good in transitions. It's really just been pushed by the kind of general performance of the team, a lot of peak age players added, such as like Timo Roth and Lewis Holtby, Jan-Peter Arp. Those have all been outperforming, and they've been outperforming because I would say Düsseldorf probably edges them out on quality. But as I've said, Düsseldorf throughout the season, they're just not consistent enough. So it's better to be the more hardworking team and be a little bit more balanced as a team than be a bit more like Düsseldorf that has that extra quality but doesn't know how to exactly use it. So it'll be interesting to see what Holstein Kiel will do in terms of reinforcements when they go to the Bundesliga, because they're not like Heidenheim. Heidenheim had such big performers and they're a good balanced side, which has made them survive this year in the Bundesliga, whereas Kiel lack the same kind of qualities Heidenheim did. And Düsseldorf, it'll be interesting to see, because they were the better team against Kiel. They're just wasteful and inconsistent, as I said. It'll be interesting to see who they go up against in the relegation playoff and if they can make it out, because I would like Düsseldorf to come up instead of any of the teams that are currently in the Bundesliga right now. But we know how hard that can be for the lower league team to get through.
I mean, right now, if we take a glance at the Bundesliga, there was a really exciting match there as well, because Köln looked like they were about to get relegated when they were 2-0 down against Union Berlin. Turned that one around in the dying moments of the match. Timo Schulz working his magic, I'm sure, would be Mike's headline there.
Yep.
So they won that one 3-2, meaning that they are on 27 points. Union Berlin, 30 points. So right now, it looks like it's between those two sides, maybe. Additionally, there are a couple of other teams, or at least one other team. And Bochum could also be in the mix still. They're on 14th on 33, and Mainz could be in that mix as well. They're on 15th after their win against Dortmund, 32 points. So right now, there are four teams vying for that relegation playoff spot. Köln obviously want it. Union want to get out of it, and Mainz and Bochum want to avoid getting into it. Now, which of these four sides would Düsseldorf want to play against?
Well, if you want to see the world burn, then of course it will be Cologne. Because there's no better match you can think of for a relegation battle. Of course, if you take a look at the summer 2025, it might be St. Pauli HSV. But for this summer, it's Cologne Düsseldorf. That would be fantastic, at least from a neutral point of view.
Yeah. I think Köln have to turn over Heidenheim away, which is a really hard ask. So I don't think they'll be able to do that. I don't think Union Berlin look particularly inspiring. Mainz, I think they'll get at least a point out of Wolfsburg. I think best for Düsseldorf is either Bochum or Berlin, just in terms of quality. I don't know what's going on with Bochum, because I don't know how they won against Hoffenheim and Union Berlin. And it was a crazy 7-goal match for them recently, but I still don't find them very good in just general quality. But yeah, if I was Düsseldorf, I'd probably want Union Berlin.
Yep, and they, I mean, to be honest, the last match day of the Bundesliga season is going to be exciting in that regard. And I mean, the teams they're playing against, Union are playing against Freiburg, need 1 point to secure that relegation playoff spot, and Köln play against Heidenheim. So if I was a betting man, I'd probably say it's going to be Union Berlin playing in that match.
But Freiburg needs some points for Europe, so they won't give that game away. And
well, Heidenheim could qualify for Europe too. In a sense. I mean, they are currently on 9th on 39 points.
Next year, you can qualify as the 15th of the third league for Europe. So it's really ridiculous. So I don't know.
Ridiculous or fun? I would pay to see Sandhausen in Europe.
Well, without Jens Keller, that is. But we'll get to that later. Anyways, there was some other news below the promotion excitement, other than HSV missing out and Düsseldorf getting that promotion playoff spot. Well, let's start with Schalke. What's going on there, Jasmine?
They appointed Ben Manga as a position, which I have forgotten what the position was. Is it sporting director or just...
Well, I mean, he was Freddy Bobic's wingman at Eintracht Frankfurt, basically being in charge of finding the right players, and he is probably in charge of doing the same for Schalke now.
Well, that was head of recruitment, and I believe that he's gotten a better job. He went from Eintracht Frankfurt to Watford, where he did not last. No one lasts at Watford, to be fair, but he did not last. He got,
only Elton John does.
Yeah, only Elton John, who's also apparently a Man United fan, but that's for another day and another podcast. I'm pretty sure I read that. I'm not going into that now. Yes, he didn't do well. He got basically backstabbed by Valerian Ismail, who was manager at the time. They fired Bamanga, and then they made Ismail, like, head of everything, like, decision-making. And then he got fired as well, so it was no point. Anyway, now Schalke have basically signed up Bamanga to help recruit and restructure that Schalke team, which is pretty interesting. Schalke's moves recently, for anyone who doesn't know how Bamanga works, he's not really a numbers or data guy. He was basically a scout and moved up the ranks, and he's more old-fashioned in the way that he likes the eye test of things. He likes going and seeing players and bringing them in and working that way. Doesn't have much to do with data at all, really. And, you know, he's brought up and he has gotten a lot of talent from Eintracht Frankfurt that helped them win the Europa League. So, new project at Schalke seems to be quite a big, like, role. Will it work? I don't know. We know how Schalke operates. We know how Schalke can be and how little money they can have at times. But it seems to be interesting. Everything Schalke's doing at the moment is very interesting. But I just want to double check what his role actually is at Schalke. Director of Team Planning Scouting and whatever Knappenschmieder is.
That's the academy.
That's the academy, yes.
There we go. I've never heard an academy called that in German.
There was also some player news at Schalke. One of the all-time greats of the Bundesliga 2 has retired, or is retiring. He has one match left to play.
Yes, Simon Torrado of second Zweite Bundesliga fame is hanging up his boots, which is a very big shame. He's been a part of many teams' promotions or high scorers. Has never really broken into the Bundesliga. Just one of those typical Zweite Bundesliga players. And he also gave us one of the greatest German voice crack interviews of all time.
True. He is hanging up his boots, so Bamanga must find a new striker. And the other question I would think currently discussed at Schalke, who is going to be in charge of coaching the team next season? I mean, there have been some voices criticizing the current coach, Carol Gerrits.
Has there?
If you follow the press, there have.
Really? They like to slag off whoever's coach anyway. They like to slag off all of Schalke. I'm not saying that's wrong. All right.
So you think that he's going to be there next season, at the start of the season, at least?
I don't know what does his contract say, because I don't think... Does Schalke have enough money to sack someone? That is a good question. I don't know their finances.
Yeah, I mean, hiring a guy like Bamanga, you just think that their goal is to get back up to the Bundesliga. It's a big name move.
Carol Gerrits was a big name move, I would say.
Yeah.
Or big for a second Bundesliga team.
True. Just ask Timo Baumgartl how happy he is with that move right now. But anyways, loads of exciting stuff to come at Schalke then. Other things that, you know, have sort of been confirmed is that Hertha are going to be in the market for a new coach too.
Oh yeah, of course. Dardai is stepping down again until they get tired of their new coach and then they have to bring him back in like a Hub Stevens at Schalke. There we go. There's one name for Schalke, Hub Stevens. Yep, Pal Dardai is also deciding to hang up his cigars. He's had enough of Hertha and playing his sons. I think I've said last time that it seems to be, I haven't read anything different. The last rumour was Christian Fiel from Nuremberg, and now Dieter Hecking was actually sacked from Nuremberg from his post. It seems like a clear gateway for Christian Fiel to leave Nuremberg and to go to Hertha. That seems to be like the main play, the main push, the main kind of rumour of who will take over at the end of the season, especially with his work with bringing up academy players and just playing young players, which Hertha may need to rely on, both because of finances, but also it gives youth players a chance to shine to then be sold on. As for their chances of promotion next year, if that's the way they're going to go, we don't know. It doesn't seem like a we want to be promoted kind of hiring. But Fjell is still quite new to head coaching in a way, especially in Zweite Bundesliga.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are some other news coming out of Rostock as well. A bit more going on there. I mean, let's turn to them at the bottom half of the table. I mean, right now we know that Osnabrück are relegated. And then it's between VfL Wiesbaden and Hansa Rostock, who gets that relegation playoff spot, as Hansa Rostock sit in 17th on 31 points and VfL Wiesbaden are in 16th on 32 points. All the rest of the teams that, you know, were in that quagmire, Kaiserslautern, Braunschweig, you know, all of them were saved by the fact that pretty much all the teams below them lost. So Braunschweig is out of it, Kaiserslautern is out of it, and now it's between Wiesbaden and Rostock. And Rostock have already made some moves for the future.
Yeah, off the pitch mainly. So they got rid of Christian Walter, so their sporting director. And today they announced Amir Shapourzadeh as his replacement, who was a former Rostock player until 2006. And in the last couple of years, he was the sporting director at VfL Osnabrück until, I think, last summer. Oh, sorry, no, he got promoted with Osnabrück last summer, and then in February this year, he said that he won't extend his contract, and therefore, was looking for a new job opportunity, and, well, going from one team who gets relegated to another team which gets relegated doesn't seem to be the best move, but there is still hope. Rostock could get the relegation spot, and, well, we will see.
I mean, what might work against Hansa Rostock ever so slightly is the fact that St. Pauli's players who are playing away to Wiesbaden might not be the most focused given, you know, the celebrations that they've been having. You know, I mean, are they going to be a sober bunch meeting up professionally in Wiesbaden?
Wait, aren't they going to do like Darmstadt last year when they got promoted and then flew off to Mallorca even though they had a game? Have they done something like that? Because that's what cost Darmstadt last year of the top spot. And I'm thinking, seeing the money that could have gone Darmstadt's way, I'm thinking Pauli won't make the same mistake.
Yeah, first of all, I think because of Fabian Hürzeler, they wouldn't do it because he is really focused and really concentrated and he really would like to get the championship in the Zweite Liga. And I think also the performance that Dortmund did last weekend showed them that you should always focus, and that also in the media it's not really well taken if you give away a game like that. So I go there to Wiesbaden, so I would like to see us win, although I would prefer Wiesbaden in the league instead of Rostock, so it's a little bit challenging. From a fan's perspective, I don't think that we will just give it away. From a focus point, there are some people struggling at the moment in our team, especially Jackson Irvine, because he promised to marry on Tuesday, so yesterday. We do record this on Wednesday evening. And he and his girlfriend, Jamila, went to Denmark to do that. They had a lovely day in Denmark, but one of them, and officially it's not known which one, forgot his or her passport. And so they couldn't marry on that day, but they celebrated the night anyhow, and they went back to Denmark today, and they made a picture at the border with showing two passports in their hands. So everything went fine, and now they are, well, I don't know for sure, but I assume it's Mr. and Mrs. Jackson or whatever family name they have now. So maybe this also strengthened the focus for everyone.
The one time you need to bring your passport and you don't. Anyways, Rostock are playing also at home. They're playing against Paderborn. Paderborn, pretty much nothing left to play for as well. So all in all, these two relegation strugglers have more to play for than these two teams, and usually that is a good thing in terms of focus and in terms of, you know, being willing to score goals, but we'll see how that one pans out. But right now it's impossible to predict. Anyways, guys, any more news from the Bundesliga 2 that we should cover before we take a short break?
Karlsruhe,
yes, the team that is currently sitting in second in the Rückrunde table.
Oh, really?
They are.
Oh.
But ahead of Holstein Kiel and Fortuna Düsseldorf, who are in third on 30 points. I think Düsseldorf edges out Kiel on goal difference there.
But the story you are referring to is probably about the bus driver.
Bus driver? Did he park the bus?
On the field, and that was not allowed. No.
Is that the key to Karlsruhe's success in the Rückrunde?
I don't think so. Yeah, well, they lost against Hanover on the weekend at home, and obviously not everyone was really happy with that. And in the final minutes of that game, the ball went out of the field, and that bus driver, for whatever reason, tried to kick that ball back on the pitch.
Ooh.
Well, you can do that. It's not forbidden in total, depending on the situation. But what you should not do is hit the linesman. And this is exactly what happened, and therefore he got sent off. And maybe that wouldn't even be a big story, but beside of that, 5 years ago, that one was a candidate for the AFD. And I haven't found any notes from the last 5 years, at least. So I cannot say that he is still in that party, but well, maybe I would say he got a one-game suspension. It's an away game, so he's at least allowed to drive them to, well, I forgot the city they play, but he is not allowed to join them in the stadium, at least.
Yeah, and does he play for the senior side as a right winger?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, this is it for part one. We'll be back in just a jiff with part two. Well, here we go. Now that we've covered all the excitement from the Bundesliga 2, let's take a closer look at the third tier and fourth tiers. Now, let's start with the third tier. Ulm, they're up. Back-to-back promotions. How the hell did that happen?
Ulm is a city. First of all, we need to mention that probably because it's still strange, that name. But we talked about that in the last couple of episodes.
Isn't it Albert Einstein's birthplace?
I have no clue, to be honest.
I want to know.
Could be.
I think it is. I mean, Ulm is famous for one thing.
It is.
It's famous for one thing. Internationally, well, they are the city of Albert Einstein.
I thought that was the birthplace of Ralph Ragnick's ideas.
That too. I mean, one man is incredibly bright and the other one is Albert Einstein. Anyways, Ulm, they are up. I mean, how the hell did that happen? I mean, this is a club that went bankrupt after having, you know, swallowed a little bit too much when they got to the Bundesliga a few years back. I think that was in the 90s. You know, they've been through all the divisions pretty much, and now they're back in the Zweite Bundesliga. With a stadium that I don't think actually is fit for purpose for Bundesliga 2 standards, is it?
Well, they definitely need to do something in the summer, but this also goes for Münster, which will probably be runners-up or at least go into the relegation game. And they are also coming from the Regionalliga. So if it stays the same, we would have two teams that directly go from fourth to second league. So I think since the third league was founded, I don't know, 15 or something years ago, we had three, four, five teams which went directly from Regionalliga to second league. But definitely, we never had two teams doing that in the same year. So that's something everyone should wonder how this was happening. And especially teams like Dynamo Dresden, Saarbrücken, who might have had higher expectations before the season. Yeah, they now need to take a look at these two clubs and see what they did better than themselves.
Well, I mean, Münster's sporting director, Peter Niemeyer, has been snatched up by Werder Bremen. So his work has definitely impressed some other clubs further up the divisions. Furthermore, I mean, Peter Niemeyer has the prerequisite for being hired by Werder Bremen. He's played for them. I mean, if you haven't played for Werder Bremen, you're not going to get hired by Werder Bremen for any of those positions.
Johannes Jans has managed to creep his way through.
I mean, he's the exception that proves the rule. But anyways, I mean, Münster, they really have done well in terms of recruitment, in terms of their youth system. They went down to the Regionalliga from the Dritte Liga, which was considered to be a catastrophic thing for them, but that allowed them actually to build up a team from scratch, which, as it turns out, was fit for purpose in the Dritte Liga, and now looks at promotion. I mean, they're playing at home to Spielvereinigung Unterhaching on the weekend. Ulm is playing against Wöhl, and Regensburg are playing at home to Saarbrücken. So all of these matches, you know, they're really, I mean, Spielvereinigung Unterhaching, really great side, also newly promoted. And Saarbrücken, also a side from the top half of the table. So you just got to feel it's not done and dusted yet for Münster, is it?
No, especially because they could have done it on Sunday already, but they lost at SC Verl. The whole stadium was packed with Münster away fans, or at least two-thirds or whatever, because it's also a derby.
And it's Verl, which is a really tiny city.
Yeah. So maybe mind and the head is also playing a role in these games. And of course, if they go up 1-0 in the very beginning, it might be very easy for them to score 2, 3, 4, 5 more goals. But the other way around, if Unterhaching scores, that might cause some issues. And let's see how this works out. Nevertheless, even if they end up in third, it would be a huge success to them. But now having the chance to go up directly, of course, is something you would like to grab, of course.
And Regensburg still haven't been good. They've only had 2 wins in their last 13, no wins in the last 5. So you'd expect, even with Unterhaching as good as they have been, Preußen, and even the stress on Preußen Münster, Regensburg just haven't been good. They also had such a big lead along with Dresden at the top of the table. So I think the pressure's also on them to really push through this, which might come to nothing if Preußen Münster just win.
Yeah, I mean, Regensburg in the Rückrunde of the Dritte Liga are in 14th on 21 points from 18 matches, whilst Dynamo Dresden is in
17th
on 19 points, even behind Halle and Duisburg. Hell.
Ost.
And I mean, you know, the teams that have done worse than Dresden are actually Bielefeld, Freiburg, and Lübeck. So it's not really looking, you know, I mean, that lead was so massive at the halfway point that we started talking about, well, this is done and dusted, basically. Turns out it wasn't.
They've lost 14 games.
It's 14. Insane. It's wild. Insane.
They should have just kept Marcus Anfang, for God's sake. There was no change.
Yeah, I mean, they've basically dressed and have sacked their coach, their sporting director, and they're starting from scratch. And this is really just a recipe for chaos, instability, and you don't know what's going to happen to them. I mean, they might be stuck in the Dritte Liga for a long time, but...
Is Stamm announced? I don't know. That's not me coming from the in-the-know space. The last time I heard, he was favourite, and I've not really been keeping up because I keep on Googling Tim Walter if he's gone to Hull yet. And so I've forgotten all about Dynamo Dresden.
Tim Walter going to Hull?
Yes.
I mean, don't Yorkshiremen drop the H from every word?
Is Hull in Yorkshire? I should know, but I said it was, and then I was like, hold on, but this is for a different podcast.
Kingston upon Hull is the city, which is in East Riding of Yorkshire. There you go. Tim Walter might be confused when he's asked how his time at Amberger was. But anyways, Dynamo Dresden, exciting to see what's going to happen there. And Mike, the relegation prospects of the teams at the bottom have been settled as well, with one match remaining.
Yeah, so Bielefeld managed in a very dramatic way a 0-0 draw against Halle, and this sealed the deal for both of them. So Bielefeld will play another year in the third league and Halle will not. They go down to the Regionalliga Ost, and with them, this has been sealed earlier, Duisburg, Lübeck and Freiburg 2 will also go down.
And we talked about the fact that this is a big disaster for MSV Duisburg. I mean, they presented in 2022 a plan that within 5 years we should be back in the Bundesliga 2.
They can still do it.
Yes, I mean, back-to-back promotions, all Preußen Münster have shown that it is possible to do that. So if they do that, they can still you know, get there, but it's not looking great at the moment.
And it's definitely, it's a big shame for them and for the club, because it's a big club. It was one of the founders of the Bundesliga, and they are getting to fourth division in the first time of their club history. So they never played there before. And, well, they wouldn't have expected it to happen, but it finally did.
Yep. I mean, great history. Team used to be called MSV Dietzburg in the 70s, as their player Dietz was one of the best players in Germany. He even played in the German national team, and they even played in Europe during those days. I think they even once went to a semi-final of the UEFA Cup back then. Mike is just looking up into the air. I think this is far too nerdy.
It's far too long ago, so the 17s, even I don't remember that.
But let's see what you do remember from the Regionalligas.
Yeah, let's do a quick roundup. So starting in the north, Hannover 2 secured the championship and will play Würzburger Kickers of Regionalliga Bayern in the playoff games. In west, Alemannia Aachen secured the championship and will go back to the third league after, I don't know, was it 6 or 7 years? And in southwest, we will have one last match day with the decision between Stuttgarter Kickers and VfB Stuttgart 2. And one day is also remaining in Nordost, but Energie Cottbus has the big chance to secure championship. They are 3 points ahead of Greifswalder FC, and they only need that one final win. Looks easy on the table. It is an away game at Hertha 2, which are only placed 14th in the league. But, well, you never know. And Greifswald at the same time plays Meuselwitz. So that might be also easy home win. And they do have the better goal difference. So if they win and Cottbus loses, then they would go up. So let's see how this works out.
Yep. More excitement to come. I mean, Greifswalder FC, you've never been in the Drittliga, have they?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Anyways, Drittliga, always a roller coaster, and so are the Regionalligas. So there. Anyways, I think this is it for this quick edition of Talking Fußball, the Aufstieg edition. Guys, always a blast chatting with you. Jasmine Hahn, where can people find your work, and where can they find you on social media?
On Twitter, known as @X_JasmineHahn, and the same on Instagram. I don't really write publicly anymore, but sometimes I am on a radio or something or other, so maybe you'll see me there.
Or hear you. By the way, how's that project of securing an interview with Uli Forte going?
I must go back to LinkedIn. If I'll be honest with you, I've forgotten everyone that I added.
I mean, you've got him, you've got Ernst Middendorp.
No, I didn't get Ernst Middendorp.
Oh,
but,
no.
But I do have, I'm going to try and collect all the championship managers from Yorkshire, because there's increasing, as we've talked about, Tim Valter going to Hull. We've got Danny Rule currently at Sheffield Wednesday. Andre Brighton right now has left Huddersfield, who got relegated. And then we've also got Daniel Farker at Leeds. So, got all of them. They're, for some reason, Yorkshire really likes German managers, or German-speaking managers at the moment.
Is there sort of like a cultural affinity for Germanic things in Yorkshire?
Not to my knowledge.
I mean, when it comes to Yorkshire, I always think about that Monty Python sketch of, you know, old Yorkshiremen.
I have cousins from Yorkshire, so I've got a different view of Yorkshire, I guess.
Nobody working at the mines?
No, unfortunately not. They all went with Thatcher.
Oh, dear. Right. Anyways, Mike, where can your work and where can you be found?
The work can be found on the Millanton blog and podcast, which will be a first Bundesliga blog and podcast in the next season.
You even had an announcement about Marcel Hartl today, I saw.
And yeah. That's the funny thing, because the German national squad now announced all their players for the European tournament in the summer by various influencers, medias, and so on. And my colleague Tim thought it might be a good idea if we just announced Marcel Hartl as a new player for that squad. Unfortunately, too many people really believed that, and it caused some issues, so therefore he deleted that post again. And I said, well, what? You can't delete that, especially if people believe it. You need to stick to that, but well, he decided otherwise.
What a shame. Anyways, my name is Nick Biltong. You can find me on X at NormMusings. You can find the podcast at Talking Foosball. Make sure to write us a review in iTunes or wherever you catch your podcasts. And this episode, as all other episodes, has been produced by Aidan Rantu. We'll be back next week with, you know, the end of the season show for the Bundesliga. Until then, bye for now.